Hello, I am Paige Albiniak, Editorial Director at Promax, and this is the Daily Brief Podcast. Today, we return to Promax Europe and Amsterdam to spend a little time with Hayley Cochran. She is Head of Digital at Mail Metro Media, which is the UK's top news brand and publisher of Daily Mail and MailOnline.com. In this talk, Hayley discusses how to use content and data to create connections between consumers and marketers, and from there, how to build brand loyalty. And she knows a thing or two about the topic. The Daily Mail's website, mailonline.com, reaches 8 million people every day across multiple touch points, and the average visitor comes back 27 times per month. If that's not loyalty, she says, I don't know what is. Here's Hayley with a few tips on how you can build that sort of brand loyalty for yourself and your brand.
Hi. So today I'm going to talk a little bit more about loyalty and the intersection of art and science, which is a topic I get really, really passionate about because not only is it incredibly prevalent in our industry today, it's also what I live and breathe every single day in my job, as I assume many of you do too. So when I was preparing for this presentation, I stumbled across a quote which truly resonated with me. Study the art of science, study the science of art. Develop your senses, especially learn to see. Realize that everything connects to everything else. Now, this man has not only inspired me tremendously, he's also had a profound impact in the way we think about advertising today, our industry in general, marketing, technology. And it's not Martin Sorrell or Donald Draper. It is, in fact, Leonardo da Vinci, inventor of musical instruments, flying machines, compulsive notebook keeper, vegetarian, struggled to finish any form of projects or paintings that he started, obsessed with observing all the phenomena in nature, from the proportions of our human body to the way in which the muscles in our lips moved. He wanted to know about everything in minute detail, so he had constantly blend all his observations with experiments. He preferred to deduce from experiment rather than theoretical principles. So he recorded and analyzed all of those different experiments to see what sort of commonalities he could find, what differences could he find. And he'd do more testing, more experiments. But it was all ultimately about connecting all the dots in between. When he became fascinated with building a flying machine, he filled up notebooks with his studies and observations of birds, and the form, function, and speed at which their wings flapped. So he used sight, sound, and motion to truly visualize and experience everything that was going on around him. And then he'd depict that in the form of his scientific drawings, his paintings, his sculptures, with more accuracy than anyone from his time. So was Da Vinci an artist or a scientist? It's a major question. We don't have to choose. It doesn't have to be one or the other. Da Vinci was brilliant in that he knew how to educate the mass by providing something incredibly beautiful to look at, deeply thought-provoking, but at the same time, it powered technology forward. So when we think about our industry, advertising, and the application of technology to marketing and publishing, we don't have to be so one-dimensional about it. We have to think about how one builds upon the other. Art informs science, science informs art. So today, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about how we as a publisher have managed to bring those worlds together and applied very many of the Da Vinci way of thinking, the Da Vinci principles, to solve the ultimate equation, the loyalty equation. Now, if I were you looking up at that, I'd think, what the fuck? But it's not as complicated as it looks. I'm going to break it down for you. However, us publishers have had to learn that the hard way, especially in a world, a digital landscape, that is changing so rapidly. The only new normal is that there is no normal. And the pace at which media consumption habits change accelerate every single day. Our single biggest challenge is the fight for consumer attention. We get bombarded with so much information, exposed to so many thousands of ads every single day from the moment we wake up in the morning, right throughout the day until we put our head on that pillow at night and go to sleep. It's incredibly difficult for a brand, an advertiser, a marketer, to cut through that noise and form a meaningful connection with the consumer. The only way you can do that is with quality and trust rooted in brands people know and love, brands people are loyal to. Now, I've been in the industry for quite some time, and I've very much observed and I've experienced and been part of all that rapid change. And I've seen these two overarching themes emerge. The first, consumers own control. We want what we want, when we want it, on whatever device we want it from, predominantly on the phone. We can now go and access content while we find 30,000 feet in the air, going 400 miles per hour, access content on our phone from a plane. We can wake up in the morning and go, okay, Google, tell me about my day. Or get home from a hectic day at work and say, Alexa, please play my peaceful piano Spotify playlist for me. Clearly what I do. But it's an always-on, on-demand society. We want to be entertained. We want to be inspired. We want to be informed. We want our privacy protected. We don't want to be creeped out. Pretty darn demanding. And then seemingly contradicting to that, marketers own control. They want big ideas. They want efficiencies at scale. They want marketing solutions aligned to how consumers consume media, and we know that's changing rapidly every day. They want evidence-based marketing solutions, so data and insights. They want to connect with those consumers and influence them at every single stage on their path to purchase because they want sales. They want to drive products off shelves. They want ROI. And they want all of this with brand safety, so protect their brand reputation. So brand safety is core. Viewability, leveraging first-party data, all at scale. Also pretty complicated, pretty demanding. And then you have us publishers. Now, we're not in control. We're sitting somewhere in the middle of all of that complexity. But we're in a very unique position to solve for that equation because we bring good stories to people, and storytelling will always persevere. Technology has enabled us to tell those stories. It's informed us of ways to tell those stories in far more exciting ways than ever before. We can now go and tell stories in 8-second increments, which was never a thing before. But it's also enabled us to understand who those consumers are as though they're real people with likes, passions, fears, dislikes. Who are they? What are their interests? How do they operate across platforms? What content and messaging resonates with them and why? Technology has enabled us to be more personalized and more relevant than ever before, and that's incredibly exciting. Now let's get back to that equation, starting with the output, loyalty. And in order for me to define what loyalty means to us, I'm going to take you on a little inside journey into the Mail Online as a brand and what we see as loyalty. Now in 2008, we unveiled the site to the world, which has become loved by millions. Now, to put that in context, that's just 2 years after Facebook opened up to the general public, just a year after Steve Jobs unveiled his iPhone to the world. And in that time, we've become the biggest English-speaking news brand across the globe, reaching 8 million people every single day across multiple touch points. Now, I draw attention to daily reach because we believe daily repeated scale is a far better indicator of an engaged audience and monthly reach. So what I mean by that is someone that actively comes and seeks out your content day in and day out is a far better indicator of an engaged audience. Now, we've managed to generate that type of scale because we don't play by the same rules as anyone else. We're constantly doing things differently, constantly finding new ways to innovate and drive people to do stuff, to form deeper connections with our consumers, get them to do stuff that they genuinely feel good about, whether that's spending 7 minutes of their time on our homepage or clicking on a piece of content that isn't necessarily reflective of their standard behaviors. So what I mean by that is that it's not content that they typically consume, but they discovered on the famous right-hand rail. It's our editorial tone of voice that our audience absolutely loves and is completely addicted to. We have a 14-meter homepage, which gets updated every 15 minutes. And our average homepage visitor comes back 27 times a month. Now, if that's not loyalty, I have no idea what is. But I draw attention to the homepage because we get served up with so much content through search and social every single day that very often publishers have become incredibly reliant on search and social for their traffic. And they've seen their homepage traffic decline rapidly. And that's because people are coming through side doors. Now, the sad reality about that is that That's not necessarily a loyal audience, because most of the time, people that actually click on a piece of content that comes from, that they discover through search and social, they don't even know who published the article or watched the, or published the video that they're actually watching or reading. I wouldn't say that's entirely loyal audience. That's passerby traffic. So people come that come once or twice a month. Now, 60% of our traffic comes direct to site. That 60% of our audience is actively seeking out our brand day in and day out. That's gold. That paired together with daily repeated scale, I'd say that's definitely loyalty. But we've managed to weave our way into people's daily habit, become part of their daily routine. And I live in London, so we spend a lot of time on the underground, and it's always a proud moment when you see someone on either side of you on the Daily Mail app in the morning. So we see traffic spikes, 8 a.m. on the commute in the morning. Again, lunchtime, desktop. 3 p.m., mid-afternoon lull. Back on their commute home, we see traffic spikes again, on mobile again. And then, interestingly, we actually see traffic spikes throughout the night, small spikes throughout the night from mothers who are feeding their babies. So we've become part of people's daily routine, and that's essentially something that every single publisher aspires to. So loyalty. What loyalty means to us is if someone is actively, daily, frequently, consistently seeking out your content and actually looking for your content, looking for your brand day in and day out. So much so that you've become part of their daily routine. Some would argue that's also addiction, but I would take both. But that's what we define as loyalty. Now let's talk a little bit more about how we've managed to generate that type of loyalty, starting with art. We have 600 digital-only journalists. So many publishers are stripping back on editorial. We're constantly investing in editorial. And we don't just curate content, we create content. Those 600 digital-only journalists are out of the office, boots on the ground, breaking exclusive stories every single day, 24/7. 88% of the content that you'd see online is the content that those journalists have created. Only 12% is based off the print editorial. And that's because we've got our own unique voice, our own unique identity. We have a team of, we publish 1,500 articles every day and have a team of picture editors that scroll through the web to find images that form the basis of every single one of our stories. Now, just like Da Vinci, who believed that sight was the most important sense, so do we. Our editor is a picture editor at heart, and he believes in telling stories in a very visual, interactive way. So you'll see many of our articles have anything from 6 up to 200 images. Big headlines, a lot of information in the content, a lot of detail. More than 50% of our content is embedded with videos. We post 900 videos every single day that generate 250 to 300 million video views every single month. So we reach more people more frequently with more content than any other English-speaking news brand across the globe. And the audience doesn't just necessarily like our content or read our content. They like, vote, comment, share it. And it's because of the expertise we have at creating content that truly resonates with them. We know what works, we know what doesn't work. Paired together with our influence, it's enabled us to start these conversations that create chain reactions and lead to big trends. And we know what's trending because it's what you're viewing every single day. We sit at the heart of all of those cultural moments, those passion points. There isn't a single big trend in the last 10 years that we haven't been at the forefront of. The Love Island phenomenon, everyone has been exposed to or consumed Love Island content in some way, shape, or form. But we wrote 2,300 unique articles that generated just short of 300 million article views. We posted 120 videos that generated almost 150 million video views. That's incredibly powerful. But it doesn't necessarily matter if it's Love Island, or if it's the royal wedding, or if it's Fashion Week, or Wimbledon, or World Cup. Our audience knows that we're going to be at the forefront of those stories, breaking exclusives in a very visual, interactive, creative way. So tons and tons of images, once again, big headlines like I mentioned earlier, lots of video content. And that's incredibly core. It's what our audience wants. Now that's art, but it's only part of the equation. Our editors are artists. Creativity and storytelling has to be at the core of every single thing that you do. Our editors, our journalists, have constantly got to reinvent themselves. They've constantly got to challenge themselves to find new ways to connect with an audience in a way that's actually going to, so they can deliver that message in a way that's ultimately going to make that person feel stuff. It's either going to make them laugh, it's going to make them smile, it's going to make them happy, it's going to make them sad, it's going to inform them, inspire them, entertain them. Whatever the case, it needs to make them feel and tap into their emotions. Only then is that's a pretty core for us in getting them spending as much time with our content as they do. And you've got to be able to deliver that messaging in a tone of voice that is authentically your brand. That's key. Now, I once heard someone refer to an editor as a walking algorithm. And I think it's such an incredibly beautiful way to describe it, because not only do they have these years and years and years of journalistic experience, but there's magic in creativity. Being able to actually know and use your gut instinct and your intuition to know what stories to break when and where, what stories are truly going to resonate with an audience, that takes something special. Now, if you had to fast forward that, take it one step further to the modern day editor, today's editor, they've had to evolve from being these imaginative storytellers into these multi-dimensional, multifaceted beings who not only know how to go and tell brilliant stories that really make people, it drives people to do stuff, but they now have to be data analysts. They have to know exactly what, they have to be able to see, use insight, real-time data to see what's working right then and there to actually adapt and evolve how they're actually delivering that message on a real-time basis. Now that's where science comes into play. Now so many publishers are completely obsessed with Google Trends and what's popping on Facebook at any given moment or any given time. And while we've got an incredible search and social team and they do just that, our editors are obsessed with something completely different. Just like Da Vinci, he was an inventor, he was an engineer, he was an architect, we too build our own proprietary technology, whether it's our own GDPR consent management platform, or if it's our real-time analytics tool, which our editors are very, very obsessed with, called RTA2. I call it, the team often laughs at me because I call it R2-D2, because they're both as smart and awesome as each other, perfect blend of man and machine. But our editors use RTA2, to analyze all the content that we're publishing all around the globe, every single moment of every single day. And they use that insight to steer how high that content sits on the homepage or on the right-hand rail. And we can also see exactly where, from around the world, people are clicking on which individual articles. And we can use that insight to balance what people want to read, what they're currently clicking on, with what we think they should be reading. And the reason we do that is because we curate these editorial experiences for people that enables them to discover new types of content. And it's this broad, diverse range of content that keeps them coming back day in and day out. It keeps them spending a huge amount of time with that content. We also can dive deeper into each individual article using heat maps and see how people are engaging with those particular pieces of content. Do they go from the right-hand rail to the headline? How far do they go down? How many paragraphs do they read? So what's their session depth? Do they read the whole article? Do they go directly from right-hand rail to the images? How many images do they get through? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10? Where do they drop off? And that insight is incredibly powerful because it means our editors that can constantly hone in and optimize every single article, every single headline on a real-time basis. We've got that real-time reader feedback loop. So that means that they can constantly make the changes necessary to keep that page as engaging and sticky as possible. Now, science. What does science mean to us? Having the absolute best tech stack that enables us to collect our first party data, translate that and visualize it into these valuable insights that enable our editors to be more relevant and more personalized to our audience and consumers than ever. It also enables us to have that real-time reader feedback loop. It can make sure that we're constantly tweaking and optimizing our content to keep people engaging with the brand. That's science. But while the technology enables us to do all of that, it's a real human being, a walking, breathing human being that's actually editing the page, not an algorithm. Now you can start to see where bringing these two worlds together, bringing art and science together, that's when you can create beautiful, something really truly special. One without the other is only a fragment of what it could be. So, art and science gives you loyalty. But just like Da Vinci, I'm inspired so much by him, but he was an architect, he was a scientist, he was a painter, he was a sculpturist, he was a botanist, he was a mathematician, he was an engineer, he was an inventor, he was a musician, he was amazing, he was so many things. But he was also, and most importantly, a universal genius, in that he had the foresight to see that art and science work beautifully together. Now, we can have the most incredible ad tech stack. We can have the best data scientists, the best editorial team, the best design team, storytellers that can blow your mind. We could have the best sales team. We could have the best of absolutely everything. But in order to generate the type of loyalty that you need in this day and age, you need a little something more. You need a sprinkle of genius. And to be open to the fact that maybe art and science actually need each other. Thank you.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director at Promax. Andres Trujillo, Promax's social media and community manager, edited this podcast. Video helper provided the music. Digital content producers Kate LaCaire-Marion and Kayla Marie Hardaway contribute to Daily Brief. You can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Promax_global. You can also email us at dailybrief@promax.org. And please subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.